This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
We're rolling, right?
No sweet, just raspberry lime.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's John, producer John there on the guitar.
Not such a long time ago. I was a no-show. I missed a couple of podcasts. And I didn't have nothing for it, baby, baby. But guess who's back?
Who's back?
He's back.
I said, guess who's back?
He's back.
I guess who's back?
He's back.
And it's time to get the podcast back on track.
Johnny's
I'm losing
back.
My mind.
Johnny's back.
I'm losing my mind.
We love
Dennis, back.
And we're back on the party, baby girls.
What
and we're glad
an
you joined us.
Thank you, producer John, for playing.
We had John on guitar.
Danny's playing the zip on his jacket.
Danny V on the vocals. Smoking Danny V on the vocals. And we're glad you joined us again for another fabulous episode of the Trim Healthy Podcast. Gather your family, gather your kids, and relax into the moment.
Are you on like PBS or are you like Smoking Blues Club?
We'll do it all.
It is nice to have you back, Dan. Dan.
Yeah.
He's got this special touch to his hair. It's like a slick, wet look.
Yes.
Like that's also known as greasy.
Grandfather's grease.
Yes.
Well, you know what's
interesting? What they used to call it, the Brill Cream.
Yes.
Well, it's actually both slick and wet, and that's because it's about a week out of being washed.
Oh, you're telling me that is thick oil from Danny's scalp?
No.
That's product.
No. Oh, coconut oil.
Oh, okay.
Now, does that count
that's
as
right.
product?
Yes,
quote,
it's product.
It's
my man
oil.
Started putting coconut oil in his hair. I'd call it product, and he'd be betraying the manhood.
Wait, but
you would? Okay, so he can eat coconut oil, do all sorts of things with it, but he can't put it on his hair. It's
he'd
suddenly product.
He has to look more than 1 second in the mirror.
Oh.
So it's not the look he'll have at the end of it. It's
no,
the man he has
put
to
it
become.
In. I like to put a product in my husband's hair.
Okay.
But it can't be his idea.
Yes.
And he can't actually
because
do it.
Because
Serene's
of the man.
So scared of feminine side in a man.
Yeah. Now, do you feel like you have to protect Sam from going?
No, I've never had to protect him. She's just worried, Dan. Yeah. She's worried Sam will turn into you, but we're glad to have you anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, hey. Well, you know, maybe it wouldn't be so bad, Serene, if he had some feet turned into me. I mean, I guess fully, that'd be awkward.
Yeah, that would be a bit awkward.
I'm going to start texting him product recommendations.
Yeah.
You and just have him show up. I'm going to be like, don't tell Serene. I just know we're working with her on the podcast. I know she'll love this. And it'll be like a proper
Danny
product.
Will suddenly be less and less on the show. And we'll all be wondering, and then we'll find out he's some blues.
It was true, though. He was gone like 3 weeks. We missed our Dan. Dan's got like hot and heavy things going, though. People paying him bukus of money more than us. But that's all right. He's back. He loves us.
But that's what counts.
He loves you. He came back for you guys.
Yeah, he did.
A man.
He didn't come back for us.
He didn't come back for our measly quarter.
Before the podcast and all that, he ditched us for years. He used to be like real close, live on the hilltop. Then he went into town.
Yeah.
Did the ditch
He's
on us for 3 years at least.
But anyway, this is an intro. We need to get to some meat. Serena, you're bringing some meaties?
I got some meat because it's, well, first of all, let me like prep it all up. And then the meat I'm bringing is some meat that I've dished out to myself last 3 days.
Good.
Totally. Dishing to myself, force feeding it to myself.
Yeah.
This is something I need today.
All right.
Self-serve meat.
Mm-hmm. So we want to get healthy.
Yes.
We're all on this journey, right? We've learned a lot of things. We've made progress. We've cleaned up our diet. We've cleaned up our skincare.
We hopefully all have done
those.
A
lot of us. You know, we're working on it.
We're
taking these steps, right? Maybe we've cleaned up our house cleaning supplies and gotten rid of all the chemical toxins in our homes. Maybe we've cleaned up our schedules and got ourselves some time to exercise. And, maybe also because we've pushed it a lot on this podcast, we started cleaning up all of our negativity, just like getting all out of there. All toxic thoughts that nurture sickness and disease. We're like, you be gone. You're in the can.
You be gone.
We have been cleaning up our unhealthy identities that paralyze change and growth and success. And you know, all the junk that we tell ourselves, all our failures and all our ridiculous past and our inevitable future, we've been incinerating it. It's just gone, right? Yeah,
true.
So we've been detoxing our lives from fear and anxiety, all worry and thinking the worst is getting the can too. So what's next on our journey? Mm. And I'm bringing it to you because I've had to bring it to me.
Okay.
Okay, so hopefully we've already been working on this a little bit, and I've been trying in my life to work on this. And we've talked a bit about the subject here on the pod before, but we all need reminders.
Mm.
And this detox step, it's going to need it more than one reminder.
Okay.
Blink and well.
I'm scared.
Blink and well. I'm worried about myself.
Hey, blink and well's a good old Australian, New Zealand, almost curse word.
Yeah. Hey, blinkin'.
Blink and well.
Have you heard it, Dan?
I've heard of A. Blinken.
No,
that's not Lincoln. A. This Blinken. Is Blinken.
Oh, you meant Hey Blinken.
Blinken.
It's yeah, Blinken. Instead of like, because it's in Australia, New Zealand, it's actually like the soft word for B L O O D Y, which is a curse word over there.
Can
Blinken,
I tell you?
Blinken. B L O O D Y.
Blinken idiot. It's opposite what we're going to talk about today.
H-E-L-L is the big curse word down under, but instead you say Blinken heck.
Blinken heck.
Yeah. And if somebody's a real moron, which is opposite what we're talking about today, you blinking idiot.
Yeah.
Wow.
You blinking moron.
That's really cute because in America, like you guys all have your funny words, like over in Britain with Les, you know, you got your toddle winkles and your jilly joggles. I mean, you get just the silliest little word, like everything's so silly. Like it doesn't have like punch, I feel. So like even that, like get your blinking self. Like I'm sure some big muscle bound man probably hurls that insult in traffic at people and feels like, man, God's watching. I should clean it up. And we're over here like, dude, we have like blinkers for our little lights. It's like flashy and cute and little. It blinks. There's no consequence to it.
Oh, it's funny. Okay, so we've brought this topic up a little bit before on the potty. And we often are going to be repeating ourselves in this potty. We've often repeated ourselves already. And that's okay, right, Dan?
It's
totally
fun.
Okay.
It's
fun. Actually get stuff, honestly.
It's actually the right thing to do, Pearl.
Good.
The Bible even says it.
I need to be told the same thing once a week.
So. To repeat
yes, you
it.
Do, Danny.
Listen.
I'll fall off the wagon so fast.
In 2 Peter 1, 12 to 13, it's Peter talking. It says, I won't hesitate to continually remind you of these truths, even though you are aware of them and are well established in the present measure of truth you've already embraced. And as long as I live, I will continue to awaken you with the reminders.
I need that. I actually need reminders every day to not be a stinking thinker.
Yeah.
Oh
and
gosh.
Again, in 2 Peter, when it talks about Paul, he says he constantly speaks of these things in all his letters.
Yeah.
So we brought up a few things that may seem like, oh, they've already touched on that. Well, blinking good.
Whoa.
Touching blinking well again.
Okay, so this is the next step, and I'll need a lot of blinking reminders. Let's detox. We've done all this detoxing already, but let's detox not just our thoughts about ourselves. We've touched on that, but now let's detox our thoughts about others. Drum roll, please.
I mean, if I had a drum.
Jenny, why don't we give you your 25 cents a potty? Drum with your mouth.
I've always felt upset
about
it.
I want the drum with your mouth.
The tongue roll, drum roll.
Oh, you don't like that.
I know. What about the.
It upsets me.
What about that one?
I can bebop. I mean, that's
different.
Well,
do something for me. That was a big announcement. Detox your thoughts about others. I thought it was going to be a deep exhale from Dan and then
see
something.
See if it works on the mic.
No, that's not good enough.
You have not earned your 25 cents.
That's about it.
I'll do it.
See what I'm saying? That's ridiculous. Look, a grown man going
like,
to do that?
Whoa, she brought it.
Something oh,
like
you
that.
Want a sizzle intro.
Thank you.
Like, serene.
Yeah. I give him a penny, Pearl.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't like it, Dan.
Bump, 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 bow!
Okay, so this one, we've been working on our thoughts of ourselves here for the potty for a while, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But this next one is a sly one, Dan. It's one we feel like we don't have any control of. Oh, we can't work on that. That's somebody else's stuff.
Mm.
And, you know, it's like if he wasn't such a blinking jerk, I wouldn't have to get upset.
Yeah.
If she wouldn't be a self-righteous hypocrite, then I wouldn't have anything negative to say about her, right? Yeah. It just makes sense.
You motioned
this one's
to Pearl.
A sly one because we justify it, right?
Yeah.
But is it truth? The wisdom of man tells us it is. We're not responsible for the blinking idiot issues and problems of others, and they just affect us. It's just life. It sucks. We just have to deal and stew.
Right.
Right? but it robs our life of joy. It poisons our cells with hate. You know, even if we think negative thoughts about others is not exactly as gross as hate, it's all hate's child.
The hate's offspring child. Of hate.
Yeah. Hate births negative emotions. All thoughts that are not love and celebrating the unique dignity of a brilliant creation of God are toxic and disease-producing.
Well, what about John, the people that don't believe exactly as I do politically?
because all of this causes bitterness in our lives. That's toxic. Complaining, toxic. Offense, toxic. Ungratefulness, toxic. Discontentment, toxic. Dishonor, toxic. And masked hate, because we have to call it what it is. It's really just hate with a mask on it.
These are all great names for a metal band. Like masked hate and hate's child.
And you've got the perfect hairstyle for it, remember?
Yeah.
We are all as humans are so easily offended. And I have been chief, and you're going
to
hear.
No, I don't know if you have, Serene.
No, I have.
You may be used to, but these days you are not.
Oh, but
offended.
Listen, 2 days ago, I'm about to bare my soul about 2 days ago.
Oh, okay.
Because we love
relapse,
to nurse,
have we?
We love to nurse it in our heart as a precious, you know, offense and thoughts about others. Sometimes it's a glorious negative pastime. For many of us, it can be quite glorious.
It used
glorious.
To be for me. I feel like I've come a long way.
You don't really think of it as glorious at the time, but when somebody tries to take it away from you, they're taking away something very precious and it hurts. It's like, what am I going to fill this void with? It reminds me of The Grinch. Have you seen that movie, Dan?
Of course, with Jim Carrey. Christmas?
Jim Carrey.
Hello.
And he's like, something like, 12 o'clock, self-loathing. Yeah. 1 o'clock, pity is over. 2 o'clock, wallowing in deep depression. My schedule's full. I can't.
Yeah. My schedule's full. It's such a good scene.
But, you know, we make so much time. We feel like our lives are so busy, we don't have time for stuff, but we make time.
I'm scouring my head, Serene, because I definitely used to be this way, but now I've come up on something in myself. I'm trying to be honest. I've come up with something. Eek.
Now, I know there are a lot of true, factual, bad things that people can do and do to you, and we're going to cover that, the real stuff, the real hurts. It's not just like, oh, I'm presuming something about somebody. No, it's real. But we're going to touch on that, but I'm here to be honest with you. Much of what has preoccupied my mind before about others has been the very easy to slip in terrible sin of presumption. It's what we deliciously presume people are thinking. Oh, that's been so easy for me in the past. Mm. You know, like, oh, I see that facial expression. Oh, I know what he's thinking. Mm. And he's probably not even thinking, but I know. I've judged it. You know, we rush to judgment on people's motives. We presume the deeper thoughts that must be behind their comment. Oh, he didn't just say that. Oh no, I know. Or he must be thinking blah, blah, or she must be thinking blah. We presume upon their expression. And before long, we've been lost in some daze and maze of presumptive thoughts that are not factually based. And the forces of darkness are totally cheerleading along. The wisdom of man is confirming it in our minds. And we are sentencing people to verdicts and judgments and imprisonments of error in our minds. Like they're stuck. This is the jerk they are. And I really know, you know, when they haven't even had a chance to defend themselves. It's just all our own inner presuming about people.
Now, maybe I'm being sexist, but I feel like women do this more than men.
Maybe you're right.
I was just wondering that too.
But maybe
I
you're
think
right.
It could be. Although men can put people in boxes too. Like, okay, that guy's a jerk. That's what they think.
And once they're a jerk, they're stuck as that jerk.
Yeah, but usually. I feel like our boxes are brief and to the point.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Jerk box.
I feel like you guys create an entire volume.
Once that jerk box is there, though, we might have volumes and screeds and and whole things.
There's a lot of words around our jerk boxes, but you just have a box and it's got a man in it and it says jerk.
I have like one of those tiny check boxes at the doctor's office.
Right,
and it's like jerk, not jerk, jerk,
yeah,
not jerk, jerk,
once
not jerk.
Ticked it, can you easily untick it?
Nah.
Nah, right. Well, we get there with much thought and much words. You just get there in a box.
No, you have libraries, like the Chronicles of My Pain.
Oh, yes. Now the devil loves all this stuff.
He likes both boxes.
Yeah. There's like a whole wardrobe you enter where it's winter all of a sudden. The Chronicles of My Pain.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. The devil resides in this negativity and division. He hates unity. He's disgusted at love and he abhors forgiveness. He's roaming around seeing how he can trap us into wasted time, presuming upon people's intentions, motives, words, and hearts. And I know it because of a story that happened to me actually 3 days ago now.
When are you telling this story? I'm talking about now. I want to hear it. I want you to set the stage, okay? Okay.
And my husband might be listening to this one day, so I want to set the stage. My husband, you all know him, Dan and Leslie Pops and John and Pearl. He's a visionary, a project man. And when he does projects, he does many at a time. And he juggles all the logistics and they're big projects, not little projects, right?
He doesn't do many. He does all of them.
He does all of them all at once.
All that are possible, he will do.
And they all come together at the end with creative genius. And what looked to me and others like a jumble of mess and unfinished plans that we just have to adjust our lives around, you know, because it takes a while for these big, humongous projects to get done. In the end, they become perfected and they seamlessly...
Well, is your big Grand Canyon filled up?
No, not yet. Oh. But see, one day it's going to be seamlessly enfolded into this other project that all at once, they're all going to make sense to me. And oftentimes it's happened where all of a sudden six of these projects just become like art before my eyes, and he couldn't do one at a time because they all kind of meshed together.
But they're years in the happening.
It's genius. Yeah. And it's art form, right? But this is what I've loved about him. It's been interesting at times, like just to having to adjust and like, let's not let the children die around all of this stuff.
Yeah.
But it's what I've respected about him. It's like, wow, like you have an amazing mind. I love that. And I love the push that he just constantly has these big visionary plans and he thinks out of the box. It's what I've loved, right? And to be this kind of man, he's a workaholic.
Yeah.
Even if I go on holiday, he's just desperate to get back. Like on holiday with him, he's having a good time with me. It's great. But I can tell he just wants to get back and get his hands dirty. Like, let's just get into projects. Let's just dig in the dirt and bulldoze stuff and do things, right?
Let's move this dirt over there and that dirt over here.
He's desperately afraid of being lazy.
Yeah.
And so because of this personality, he's often focused and always busy. But I know I'm loved, and I've had this understanding for 22 years of marriage, this wonderful marriage that I'm loved, and he's working hard for us, and it's wonderful. But, you know, he's not the man that comes home on the weeknights and just cuddles up and on the couch and just stares into my eyes and let's just watch a little chick flick together with some popcorn. You know, he's not that man. And he's not the man on Saturdays that's like hanging around and we're walking down quaint city streets with a latte and, you know, maybe we'll go home.
You're describing a retired millionaire.
I see these people. And on the week last week.
I know, they're out there. I get it.
I saw these people in my mind. I spent hours.
I get it.
Okay.
I get it. I fight against them all year, so I get it.
There are men up. I don't know where these men are, but you go on the road, streets, you see them somewhere.
Well, I saw them all in my mind this last weekend. Okay,
all so women see them in their mind at all times.
My husband's up before dawn and at home at night, and he comes in the door. He's got numbers. He's got logistical equations and timelines all whirring in this beautiful head of his, right? I mean, don't get me wrong. He's loving. He's romantic. He's just, he's all these wonderful things. But, you know, sometimes he walks through the door and he's focused and it's not like, oh, darling, your dress is beautiful. You know, just like, that's not him, okay? Okay. And until 3 days ago when my head like, just flew into this presumptive state of like agony, I was totally cool with the man he was. Like, I wouldn't want him to change because then I wouldn't love him anymore because all of this quirks was his glory to me, you know? But I got this thought that flew through my head that he doesn't spend time with me because I'm boring now. And I'm not exciting to be around she's just kind of like, I'm just kind of like not something to do. Like, I don't know. I just, all these thoughts just came to my head just out of nowhere because the devil's prowling around seeking who's going to nest these thoughts. And I was just the idiot, the blinking idiot. And I nested them for the first time in 22 years. I started thinking about it. And instead of like understanding our relationship and knowing how solid it was, I started seeing all these other wonderful couples in the head and thinking about imagining them all walking down the streets of Franklin with their latte, right? Imagining them together. And then I went through all my memories in my head, every single memory of when I've turned up in an event by myself.
Yes.
And other couples were together.
Yes.
Oh, but everyone was ticked off. I remember that. I remember that. I remember that. And I don't believe how wonderful my memory was, but I remembered every single event.
My wife's listening to this one. I'm finally sending her one. You know how you can send someone something to say a message?
I was bringing 22 years of solidness and beautiful memories. Like I was shaking it with all kinds of stupid thoughts. Yeah, no, he doesn't. He's fallen out of love with me. Yeah. Like this is just, I know he walks in the door. It's just all about life now and doing all these projects. And I'd probably be just as happy if I wasn't here. Like I was going through this stuff. Yeah. I'm telling you, I totally was. And so I thought I was getting words in my head, strong words, and I thought those strong words must be said. So I got the phone and I texted those strong words.
Oh my gosh! Yes,
and I pressed send with righteous indignation. This is 3 days ago, and I said, "We aren't even friends."
Oh,
shock and horror. When the night before I fell asleep and wrapped in his arms thinking, I am the most blessed woman in the world.
Gosh.
I love this man. I feel so protected. And the hardworking man that he is, he does all on my behalf.
Yeah.
And the next afternoon, we're not even friends. Sin. And the worst part about it, it was all the sin of presumption, right? I had no facts. Like he'd done nothing, said nothing from the perfect husband he was the night before. And now... everything was like shaken. 22 years. No, he's not even my friend anymore.
Just because the way you perceived it and decided to nest.
Yeah, I just decided. Like, it just occurred to me that I was home alone on Saturday and my children are growing up. My daughter's getting married. She was off doing this and blah, you know, this was off. That person was off doing that. And I was just ended up being all alone with the toddlers just fighting and scrapping at my feet. And my husband wasn't there. And I'm like, where's my friend? Every other wife has a husband as a friend, sipping their latte and walking down
Franklin.
Walking. I saw it when they're skinny jeans and I just saw the whole thing.
You wanted to wear Sam to wear skinny jeans.
No, I didn't, but
lattes.
I saw the couples that were together and the man was in skinny jeans. But listen, it was terrible. But my whole energy was drained. I had told him in my mind, like his motives were totally like he was judged. He couldn't get it. He didn't know his motives. I knew his motives, right? And it drained. It gave me a rotten Saturday.
Yeah,
drained my energy, shook my marriage, made him feel broken and hit in the side of the head. Like, because when he came home to like, what? We're not even friends. Like, we have this awesome marriage. What's going on? Where did this come from? Right? And then it took me 3 days to repair the whole thing. Like literally to like.
Oh, because he was pretty undone.
Oh
then.
Yeah, he's like, you've been thinking this all along. No, I said no. Actually, I'm not. It was just a wild thought thing went through my head, and then I just kind of like nested it for a while. He goes, no, you've been thinking this. You've been thinking this in silence. It's been growing for 22. I said no, it hasn't been growing. It hasn't even been there. And he didn't believe me, and he thought I've been really this unhappy, contented wife that finally let it out. It was so sad, right? And so, but it's just so easy, right? And it's not even truth. It's the sin of presumption, and we do it. We don't just do it in our marriages. We do it with our children. Oh, yeah. I know why they said that word of disrespect. I bet they don't even, you know, they think that so-and-so would be a better mum and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, just crazy. We do it with our closest friends, with our relatives, with our co-workers. It's toxic.
Yeah, you guys are crazy.
It's toxic for relationships. It's toxic to us personally. It wreaks havoc on our
health.
Hey,
you tick boxes, jerk boxes, so you just hush.
Yeah, and like once a year, by the way. Like once a year, like, man, that guy's just got a problem. Whatever. End. It's finished.
Yeah,
but no one else hears about it.
I know, but listen, this podcast is to women.
No, but listen, I've been around men and I've seen their presumption. Yeah. No, I have.
You presume that you have.
No, you've forgotten about it though, because you guys are quick and then you're over. Like, you know what I mean? But I've seen it before where I'm like, I've just seen it in comments of men before, where, you know, oh, that guy, I could just tell that he, you know, he's a bit up himself or blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's presumption, Danny.
Yeah.
It's presumption.
Sure.
And it's so easy. I've just seen it too in women. It's like, oh, yeah, I can just tell. She invited me for lunch, but I just kind of could tell she felt like she had to.
Yeah.
Because I just moved in the street. Yeah. You know, like I can just tell, you know, when I'm at the yoga class that she just.
She's a bit fake.
Yeah, she's fake.
Yeah.
I mean, we do it. I remember people have done it with my sweet dear mom, who's just so sweet.
Yeah.
They presumed that it was all fake because she was just so honey dripping. Like they'd actually call her answering phone to get a good laugh and get all their friends to call because she'd be like, hello, this is the home of Nancy Campbell and above Ruby. Like, and they would think she was so sarcastic and just like totally putting it on fake woman she is.
That's
she probably yells
impression.
At everybody. Yeah, but it's just presumption.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. Listen, now for the fences that are not presumption, because they are, there are those. The real official betrayals and official afflictions, you know? It's a fallen world. And people are deceived and people are broken. I've had to think about this whole thing lately just because of where I fell last few days, right? You're thinking about, okay, well, that was just me presuming upon it. But, you know, people go through stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and actually, you know, all of us here in the room, I believe, you know, because I know all of our stories, we've been through stuff that's been real. But it's a fallen world. People are deceived and broken. And the Bible tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. And many people are totally run by darkness. They're puppets. And if people knew truth, if they had a revelation of light and of love and of God and his kingdom, they wouldn't behave like that because they would know. But they don't know. And it's like ISIS terrorists. They're deceived. They're totally deceived. They totally think that this is that what they're fighting for is the truth. Mm-hmm. And it's almost a righteous thing for them. A lot of people that have been terrorists, that they do it in the name of something so much higher than themselves. Yeah. They even blow themselves up for it.
You know, analogy, a lot of people that have affairs, they do it almost out of righteousness, like, I'm not loved.
Right.
My wife doesn't love me. I needed someone to connect to.
Right, exactly. You know, they're deceived by the depravity of the world. They're deceived by their own self-gratification. They have their own excuses. They may be lies, but they're all there, like, for the reason why they have to search outside of sacred. Mm-hmm. They're all there. I mean, everybody's heard the excuses when you hear a friend that's fallen that way. You'll ask, what's going on? And they'll be just like, well, I never had love. Mm-hmm. I never felt really, you know, blah, blah. And it's all lies. I mean, even if it was true, it's all lies because there's no reason to go and break covenant. But people are totally deceived. They do what they do because they don't know better. And people were like, well, they should know better. Well, they just don't. And that's the brokenness of it. And that's where we should have compassion for them. And people who are angry, they're deceived. They feel justified in their hate. They have every reason in the book why they should be full of hate. They're totally deceived. And it's only the grace of God that we're all not lunatics and hurtful people. I believe that we all, I'm sure, have hurt many people. But it's only by the grace of God that we're not deranged, hurtful people.
Yeah.
And even the people who are so-called do everything good, like, oh, they're just a perfect person. You know, a lot of times, without a revelation of true love, good people will do it for applause, will give so that there's given back to them. You know, without God, the human nature is selfish to the core.
Yeah, it is.
So without a revelation of his love and of a revelation of his light, we all have the very, very huge ability to hurt and to wound and to afflict. And God died for our sins. We're so mercifully forgiven. But the beautiful thing is, to me, is he didn't just die for our sins, but for all those sins that hurt you. He removed it and washed it clean. All those sins of others that afflicted you, he died for it. So we can be free of not just our sins, but all those other people's sins. We're free of them then, right? It's like we don't get to see them any longer. He's washed our eyes.
Hmm.
And it's beautiful because a washed eyes just brings a better life, because we think, oh, well, I'm just.
Well, what if they're not, they haven't asked for forgiveness? What if they're still mad, still.
Because they're deceived.
Vengeful.
And that's where we have compassion for them.
Yeah.
I mean, total compassion for them, even more when they're in such deception like that. But doesn't matter. God still died for all sin, past, present and future. He died for every single little bit of it. He covered it all. And of course, those people personally have to come to God for forgiveness. But we who are in God, we see that total coverage.
Yeah.
That total coverage was for everything. And we're not designed. That's the thing. This is why I'm coming here to talk about this today. It's because of the affliction I gave myself, the miserable Saturday. And we're not designed for hurts and offensive. It actually kills us. It slows suicide and takes all the fun of life on the way out. It just totally is miserable. We were designed for forgiveness.
It's true.
Because we are designed by a creator who is forgiveness and knows no harboring of hurt. And I was just thinking about how he was beaten and whipped with whips designed to tear the flesh of his back. He was beaten and his beard was ripped out so that his face was so marred that he was unrecognizable. And he bore all of our sins, every ugly sin, and he became sin for us. He wasn't even recognizable as Jesus, the Son of God anymore, because I believe that's why he was totally marred beyond recognition, because he had to become sin for us. He actually lost his identity so we could gain back ours.
Hmm.
And he hung on that cross and was suffocating to death. As they say, one of the most painful parts of crucifixion is that every breath they have to push up against those nails gone through the bones in their feet. And it's like almost a suffocation at the end. And as he hung there with all of our sins, because even if like we're so-called good, half of our reasons for it is all messed up anyway. But he hung there for all of our sins. And what did he say? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And we are designed by this creator. He is that. He is forgiveness hanging there. He didn't deserve any of that. Perfect innocence. Like, we're human. I'm sure we may not everybody and not in every situation, but sometimes we deserve a little bit of the flack we get.
Yeah.
Right? But he hung there. Total innocence. Forgive them. They are deceived. Mm. They are lost. And that's the incredible forgiveness that we, as those who believe in him, we get to when we identify with that death, and we see ourselves, you know, when he hung there and died on our behalf, we see ourselves now as dead, and we identify with his resurrection, that now we are risen again. But now, because we, you know, sin died, we died there, our flesh died, that now we're risen to live as Christ. And I love that, you know, how the Bible says it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live through the Son of God who died for me. And so now we get to live like God has just put us on like a glove. Yeah. And we have to live that forgiveness, that beautiful forgiveness that is undeserving.
You know, Serene, you talked about how we were created to forgive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, and that's our design. And when we live in design, like we've talked and we've sat here and we've talked about, you know, we were designed to love.
Yeah.
We were designed to be thankful. We were designed to forgive. When we walk in this, we also, our bodies and everything is connected. Our bodies also respond to that. Interesting study I read this week, because I've still been studying about the vagus nerve. You know, we've talked about that here today, that biggest nerve in your body that's like a telephone pole from your gut to your brain. And scientists have discovered that it's more like a muscle than a nerve. So when you practice turning it on in your body, it pulls down inflammation. It boosts your immune system. It is your anti-aging pill. It is your disease-busting pill, but it's your nerve, right? So they did, they're figuring, right? It's a pretty new science with the vagus nerve, and they're doing more and more studies about it because they're like, okay, how can we turn it on? What are the things? So we did a potty here about how love is powerful. Love, showing love, even micro moments of love to strangers or to your family, and just allowing that love, because we were designed for love. Mm-hmm. God is love. It turns on your vagus nerve. It makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. God's love. He's our creator. When we love, we get healthier.
Mm-hmm.
But this is interesting, how we think of people. So they did this study. They had two groups of people. One group, they told them to think good thoughts about others, wow, people in their lives, mm-hmm, and about good things, just things in general. And the other group of people were just told to meditate, clear their minds, get out the junk, you know, just calm down, just think of nothing, you know, meditate. So then they tested the vagal tone, which is the way that you test if the vagus nerve is working well or not. So it was pronounced significantly more in the people that thought good thoughts about the people in their life.
Mm.
And so it is the way we think. We choose to think these good thoughts. Like you said, Serene, you could look at your husband as either this creative genius who is always distracted with a million things, but he's just lovable and he's wise and he loves you so much.
Yes.
And he doesn't walk down Franklin in skinny jeans with a latte, but he is who he is and you love him for it.
Which is a very manly thing to do, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
Walk down Franklin with skinny jeans and a latte.
I don't even want him to do that. I would hate that. That's what I love about him, is he's not that. But it's just that all the couples I could imagine doing it had the skinny jeans.
Or you could, for like you did in Lissette, think of him as neglectful, someone who doesn't even care to be with you, and someone who chooses work over his wife. It's two different ways to look at it.
And depending on which you choose, literally will be your reality.
Yes.
You will actually, it's not like you'll just think that that your perspective's wrong. It's that in your life experience, you will actually be married to a negligent man who doesn't care about you.
Isn't that
That's so true,
Dan? And who's
Dan?
There to argue with it?
Yeah.
Who's in your mind to argue against it?
Yeah.
And he'll even believe it. That. Yeah. You know, I've done the same thing with my husband. I've told you guys over and over again, I could look at my husband like a control freak. I could look at him as so cute and caring. I choose to look at him as so cute and caring, and I just love him. There's two ways to look at your spouse.
Yeah, like he rearranges all her groceries at that when she puts it up on the little thing that moves the groceries across. He'll quickly take the bananas and put it with the other bunch of bananas and look a little bit concerned while she puts a can of tomato paste next to the bottle of oats because they don't go together.
And when we fly on the air, when we go anywhere flying, he says, definitely I could look at it as cute and caring or control freak self. We have to be at the airport not 2 hours earlier, 3 hours earlier. And he gets all red-faced and flustered about if we don't get through on time and all this and can only relax bad mood until we're behind, like have gone through the place where they check your security and all that, and finally he can relax. But up until then, and I could really think, why just chill? Take a chill pill. I'm married to a really like intense husband who gets anger. Or I could say, isn't that cute? He can only relax when he goes through security. How funny.
That's such a good tip to cutify your spouse's like bad habits
because
or whatever
it is. We've all got them. And one thing, I think I learned this from my husband, right? He does it naturally. He doesn't have to tell himself, think of Pearl as perfect.
Yeah.
But all through my life, no matter what I am done, I'm so not perfect. But here's this idea, which he just told himself, I married the perfect woman. He's always said it. He tells it to me almost every day. Honey, you're so perfect. You're so perfect. And I, of course, somehow he must know I'm not. But to him, I'm just perfect. I'm so perfect beautiful. Pearl. And that's just what he thinks of me and nothing can change it.
And it's a choice. He chose it.
He chose it. And so like your box,
and he exercised
Danny.
It.
He ticked it. There we go.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been filed.
Pearl's in the perfect box.
He doesn't need to revisit it.
No, I mean, no.
Oh, great.
And so I just think it's so true. But when we do these things, when we think, listen, my husband's not bashing me. He didn't turn from a good guy into a bad man. So I'm going to keep him, right? If I keep him, I should think about good thoughts of him. And guess what it does for us? Our vagus nerve turns on. We build up a health when we think about people, when we forgive, Serene.
Yes.
When we say, well, they didn't even mean that. Well, when we say, well, look at them. They didn't know what they meant.
I can find myself at the crossroads so many times of thinking, they haven't visited for a while. Huh, they probably... Yeah, they're probably done with us. They probably think maybe like, we're a bit of a weird family. But, you know, or it could be just they're busy. They really love it. Like presumption, you're at a crossroads and it's an exercise for me now. And I find it a really fun challenge. Yeah. It's like what Graham Cook says, I'm only challenged by goodness.
Yeah.
So it's a challenge for me. Whenever I get a stupid thought from the devil, like the enemy that's just like, presuming upon what somebody may be thinking about me or us or somebody's intentions, I'm like, there's no facts here. I'm moving on with total moving ahead, loving them and not putting on something upon them that may not be even there. And even if it is there,
even if there's
bless
facts.
Them, love them because they know not.
And we're not
what
saying
they do.
Stay with your husband if he is cheating on you. We're not saying that. We're saying sometimes you need to remove yourself from untrustworthy
situations. But even
situations,
when you removed yourself from that, you know, you could be praying for reconciliation. It's not like you have to be like total divorce, but sometimes it ends up in divorce and that's okay. But when there's been a broken covenant.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you can actually say, I've forgiven them because they were deceived, and have compassion for their souls, because what they're doing there is killing their life and killing their soul. It's destructive for them. You know who you are in Christ. It hasn't changed you being in the heart of the beloved, and you're no less loved by God, and no less, you know, knowing your purpose. It's just that there's somebody that's been derailed and deceived, and it's like a sickness of the mind. And just like we're compassionate about people who have a sickness of their body or dying of cancer, and we're like, oh, I have compassion. I've got to pray for them. We need to have compassion for people who are actually being overtaken by these dark spirits, which the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but there are spirits of darkness out there that are actually deceiving people, and to have great compassion for them. So it's no longer this, she deserves it, and all of this like unforgiveness and this presuming, or you know, even when it is bad heart hurt, just like holding on to it and nursing it. the wisdom of man stinks, really. It ends up causing rot. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And it's time that I'm challenging myself, and it's time that all of us start to detox, because his ways just bring life.
Yeah, and it's the next cleanse, really. Mm. It's the deepest cleanse, right?
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
Trim Healthy Mama, product news and notes.
Hey, Serene, let's talk about our relaunch of our dark chocolate and dark chocolate
Please.
With almonds.
Because last weekend, that's all I needed was just a case on the couch.
Wait, so it's been shut down for a while, or what's the story?
We haven't had chocolate, Danny, for like a year.
What?
Something like that. You know, because we were trying to manufacture it with other people, and that wasn't going well, and it was too expensive doing that way, and we actually had no control, and we didn't really – it was pretty good, but we wanted to revamp the formula.
I loved that chocolate, and it was so on plan, and it was so great, but because we did it all by ourselves, and we were all the Willy Wonka as far as the recipe – and, you know, it's not like we were chocolatiers our whole life. We had a bit more cocoa butter than was needed. And if you notice, it took a few seconds before chocolate landed on your taste buds.
Yeah. So what
it was
we
like cocoa buttery.
We
first.
Decided to buy our own chocolate machines, and we thought we can do this. We can become proper chocolatiers. So we've worked on this for a long time, and now we have dark chocolate back, guys. It's pretty phenomenal. I think you're gonna love it. It is dairy free, Serene. Of course, sugar-free. What else free?
Inulin-free and dextrin-free and all
is
those gluten-free.
Of course,
is
Dan.
It guilt-free?
Yes, it's guilt-free. And listen, Danny, you just missed the main point. Dextrin-free, inulin-free for all those people whose tummies bloat into different hemispheres.
Inulin hurts you, right?
Yes, Dan.
Well, not
that's
everybody,
me.
But for the bloaters.
I'm a bloater.
It. Yeah. I cannot do some brands of sugar-free chocolate because they put the inulin in there. They do it to bring down carbs, right?
But it's a fake way because it's still got that many carbs in it. But it's just a way
it's
that...
It's fake. But there's nothing wrong
explain
with,
it, Pearl.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with inulin. It's not unhealthy. But for a lot of people, it goes into the stomach and causes it to act like a balloon with air. And the air has to come out somewhere.
Phew.
On someone.
Ooh-wee.
Typically.
So listen, so even though it may not be unhealthy, it does make you very uncomfortable.
So you'll be in Walmart and you'll be just letting it out and then quickly running to the next aisle so somebody else can be blamed.
Why
for
do
it?
My sons have to involve me in letting it out? Why do they bring it like they're showing off something they invented?
Not
I'm
sure,
like,
Danny.
You're not
that's,
unique.
That's a boy thing.
This isn't cute. That wasn't funny. And they do a big move. And I'm like, what?
Oh, they
what,
lift the leg at the
where
same.
Did you get the impression that I was impressed? At like
they got it somewhere, Dan.
At like your delivery,
they got it from you somewhere.
Yeah,
it's genetic.
I think
they got
picked
it from
it up.
Me somewhere. Yeah.
But hey, you know, try this new chocolate. Even if you're a milk chocolate lover, no, I want you to try this dark actually because it is slightly sweeter, and it is dairy free.
But back to the point about the inulin. Not that it's bad and it can bloat, but it can falsify the numbers of carbs.
Yeah.
Because if there's a certain amount of numbers of carbs in there, like they put extra in like in a milk chocolate, they put extra milk powder, or they've put something else in there, dextrin or whatever, and it has a certain amount of carbs. If they say inulin, they can put it well under
they can reduce.
What is actually
so they can subtract
there.
More than fiber with inulin. You get this to subtract. It's this whole, I don't know, it's a tricky thing. But we don't do that, namely because we want to be true with carbs and – secondly, we don't want to bloat people's tummies.
Pearl doesn't want to be fluffing at the movie theater.
I don't want to fluff next to my husband.
Yeah. So it's for sale again on the website?
Yes. We should have brought you something.
And as soon as you snap
you
that
didn't.
Baby in your mouth, you taste chocolate.
We should be eating. What is the deal, girls? We should be eating chocolate
house.
Now.
Oh, and okay, so milk is coming soon, but the milk chocolate's coming soon, people, but it's not here yet.
Do we talk about the nut one?
Yeah, there's
dark
one. Dark with almonds. It's great, but actually we need to make the almonds bigger. Right now, this batch, the almonds are teeny tiny.
Yeah.
They're still almonds.
It's still good, but I want to see like a few half whole. You know what I mean? When you get a good crunch.
Guys, you know, we're always going to work to make things better and better for you.
But we do have a milk coming. We tasted the final today for the first time. And all I only got the tiniest little slither because my children, like, were all fighting over it. They loved it so much. It's good. It's really good.
It's really good, mate. Hey, so check it out, trimhealthymama.com.
It's blinkin'. Good.
Trim nothing, mama, my way. And then I'll be trim nothing, mama.